Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is all about the traditional photographic process. We talk about all aspects of analog photography, including the hybrid workflow. You can find out more information over at www.insideanalogphoto.com. And of course, Inside Analog Photo is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. These guys have the coolest instant photography materials known to mankind. They have, of course, the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4x5, color and black and white. They have the Instax systems in the wide format, the Instax 210 camera and film, and of course the Instax Mini in the Instax Mini 7 and the Instax Mini 25, both in color film. Beautiful stuff. There's nothing cooler than instant photography. You get a print, because if you don't have a print, you don't have a real photograph. This is great fun stuff. This is great for art. This is great for business. This is cool stuff. You definitely want to check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Photo Publicist, providing worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development for the photographer, turning photographers into celebrities. You can find out more information over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the highest quality work known to mankind anywhere on this planet. Unbelievable developing, scanning, and of course, output on high quality Fuji Crystal Archive. Unbelievable cool stuff these guys are up to. And remember, you don't have a photograph unless you have a print in your hand, and you need to print your pictures. This is important. You need to supply proofs to your customers and even print your own work, because it's not about looking at it on a monitor. It's about holding a print in your hand. Definitely check these guys out at Richard Photo Lab, of course, at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5. DR5 Chrome Black and White Developing, that turns your black and white neg into, that's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com for the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder, guaranteed bar none, the coolest strap around. Our friends at Iger Studios for the finest quality drum scans known to mankind, igerstudios.com. Our official media partner, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, for all things traditional photographic process on the web, www.apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.eastmanhouse.org. This week on Inside Analog Photo, we're going to be here with Michelle Bates. Michelle is the author of the book, Plastic Cameras, Toying with Creativity. We're going to talk to her about her book, what she's up to, her brand new book that's coming out, her photography, a lot of great stuff going on, workshops, really cool stuff going on with Michelle. And of course, you can check out her website, www.michellebates.net. Michelle, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Great to have you on the program today to talk about yourself, your photography, your book, and all kinds of plastic goodness.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here.
So, Michelle, let's talk about you. You are a photographer. You're an author. Tell me, if people don't know who you are, what your deal is.
Okay. Well, when I was younger, I was very into science, and I actually studied the sciences and thought really up until I finished college that I wasn't a creative person. Sort of that's what the educational system will do to you. It was after that that I got into photography and just really fell in love with it. I went to the Maine Photographic Workshops and took some classes there, and then discovered the Holga and just really fell in love with the Holga and what it does and the weird images that it makes. Discovered my own vision with it, and I've kind of been running with it ever since. And that's almost 20 years ago.
Michelle, you've been dibbed as the high priestess of the Holga and the High Lama and the guru and all this stuff. So let's talk about this. You have a book actually on plastic cameras. Well, basically the name of the book is Plastic Cameras. Let's talk about the book to start with, and we'll talk about what's in the book. You're almost done with a brand new one. This is actually pretty cool.
Well, it's been a long journey of using the Holga and the Holga community coming together and meeting people and starting to get into teaching. In 2006, I published the first edition of this book with Focal Press, which was the first really comprehensive book to go over the history of toy cameras and shows all the cameras. And that one had 33 photographers in it and then tons of how-to information, lists of resources of books and magazines and websites and things. And what I'm almost done putting together right now is the second edition of that, since so much has happened in the last 4 years.
So where do you find that the state of plastic cameras are? I see that Superheads, Holga, Lomo, all these people are starting to pump out crazy plastic cameras like House of Fire. There's like a new one every week.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just gotten more and more popular. It's amazing. I've been doing this since 1991. There were people doing it, and a lot of people were saying, well, it's a fad. It's not going to last. And it's kind of wild how huge it's gotten. The Lomographic Society has had a lot to do with that because they started selling their wares, which included Holga's rebranded as Lomographic Holga. And then they created the Diana Plus camera, and they have some other products, including the Lomo, their original one, and the LCA. They started selling them in Urban Outfitters and a lot of museum gift shops, and that really opened it up to a lot of people who weren't necessarily in the photography world before. And then within the photography world, the Holga has just gotten more and more popular, and all of these other cameras. And then a newcomer in the field is Superheads, which is a Japanese company. And they've created just some beautiful original cameras like the Blackbird Fly and the Golden Half. And they have a little digital video thing, but it's also very sort of toy-esque. So yeah, it's all building on everybody else's websites like Flickr, where people are posting a lot and creating communities around it, and the Lomographic website, and toycamera.com, which is a huge center. It all just keeps feeding on itself and each other and all of it. So it's really a super fun time right now in this world.
What do you find is the big draw? Why do people want to take pictures with a single meniscus lens plastic camera, when traditionally photographers have spent thousands or tens of thousands of dollars on the finest German glass and coatings and all this stuff, and they want 300 line per millimeter resolution, and they're just obsessed with this, and then people want to take pictures with a plastic camera that's basically, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of different types of reasons. Part of it I see right now is a real reaction, especially now, more so than ever before in the digital world. Everybody feels enormous pressure to keep upgrading their equipment as all the new stuff keeps coming out. And that is expensive, it's time consuming, there's learning curves, and it just can be sort of overbearing. And when you keep spending thousands of dollars on a new camera every 2 years and it takes you all that time to figure out how to use it, and then you just pick up a Holga, which is so simple. It's just amazingly refreshing. There's also other reasons. The main one is how the images look. The images just have this look to them, which is different from normal cameras. And the interesting thing that's happening now is that a lot of people are mimicking that look in the digital realm. So there are all these iPhone apps that will make your iPhone pictures look like Holga or Lomo or all these things, which is fascinating. And these are very popular. But the experience of shooting with the camera is also a really big part of it. The cameras are very light, which is nice. You don't have to carry around a heavy camera. They're simple and they're weird and they're funny. And so it really alters the interactions that you have with people when you're shooting, especially if you sort of give them a Holga to hold and they realize it's a toy. So there's all these different levels of what the shooting experience is, of what images look like, of the fact that you use film and so you don't see what you get. There's this delayed gratification, and that the images are each more precious because you have only 12 frames per roll. So you really have to think more about what you shoot. So there's a lot of different elements to it, but I just see them getting more and more and more popular these days, which is very, very exciting.
Let's talk about use of the Holga. What do you recommend film speed-wise versus the lens and the aperture? And then people are traditionally worried about meters and a spot meter and external stuff. And really, I think there's so much latitude with color neg film that it really doesn't matter. But what do you suggest to have a good all-around film? Or should I shoot 200 in a day and 800 at night? I mean, what do you think is a good range for people to start with and not have to worry about, cool, I bought a $20 camera, now let's go spend $400 on a meter?
Right. Using a meter with a Holga is sort of a mixed bag. You would kind of have to know what you're doing, and I recommend that. But to start with, I recommend 400 speed film, and there are lots of excellent choices in black and white and color still in 120 film. And there are only two films in 120 that are faster than 400. There's an 800 color, the Kodak Portra, and there's a 3200 Ilford Delta. So if you are going to be shooting in low light circumstances, those are both great options. But for general shooting, I love 400 films. The Kodak Portras are great. The Tri-X Freestyle has a whole bunch of different versions. And if you're in controlled lighting circumstances, you're doing flash or strobes, or it's very bright, then you can use slower films, the 100 speeds or 200 speeds.
Do you find that there's enough latitude in color neg that you don't really have to worry about metering, because really the sunny and the shade switch on the camera does nothing?
Well, the shutter speed on the Holga is about 1/100th of a second, and the aperture is about f11, and as you said, that switch doesn't really do anything. All the newer versions of the Holga are starting to include a smaller aperture for the sunny setting. So the question is, how do you want to shoot? So you can go out and shoot with a Holga and just not think, just shoot, and then you'll get your negatives and you'll deal with the latitude. Black and white does have somewhat more latitude than color film, but color film does have a good amount of latitude. If you want to go out and be thinking, you can meter if you want, or just get a sense of what the light is, because you can learn that pretty easily of how the sort of actual amount of lightness is going on in the world. You can adjust. You can use filters to block light in front of the lens if it's too bright, or you can add light by doing multiple exposures or long bulb exposures or using flash.
Michelle, between these plastic cameras, and let's just take the medium format versions, so we have a Holga, and there is new and old Dianas, and there's these other variations in medium format plastic goodness. What do you see the big differences between, let's say, a Holga and a Diana, or a new Diana, and this and that?
Well, I mostly use the Holga. I love the Holga. The original Diana was the camera that started this all, and it had many, many clones. There's Dory's and Banner and Windsor and dozens of others, and they have a lot of variation between them. The images taken even on the 120 Diana's original ones were actually smaller. They're smaller squares, and you would get 16 per roll. And those cameras were kind of a lot crappier than Holga's. They're leakier and softer. A lot of people really like that, but they're not made anymore, so that if you're using those cameras, they're a few decades old already. The new Diana, the Diana Plus, created by Lomographic Society, is sort of reverse engineered from one of the original Dianas. They have a couple of different formats that you can use, sort of the big squares or the smaller squares, and a few other things that you can do with them. And then the look of the image really varies because they also have interchangeable lenses. So you can use any of four different lenses and a couple of different add-ons. And then that really changes how much vignetting and how much of a range you get and all these kind of things. So there's a lot to experiment with the Diana Plus.
What's your thoughts on these adapters? Now, I know that Grimes Machine Shop on the East Coast has a really high-end adapter from an SLR to a Holga lens. And then some other people have adapted the Holga lens to basically a front body cap. I mean, do you get the Holga and the plastic look if you have one of these things with an actual Holga lens on a real body?
I haven't tried the Grimes one. I have one from Holga Mods, which I haven't done too much with. One of the differences is the size of the image circle that you're going to get. And so the Holga vignetting that you get is caused by the fact that it does a 2.25 or 6x6 centimeter square image. So when you use those lenses or the Diana lenses on a 35 millimeter camera, you're just getting sort of the center of the image, which tends to be the best part of the image, as in more clear and less vignetting. But then you lose that vignetting, which is so much a part of the image. On the other hand, the Diana Plus lenses also have adapters to work on the SLRs. I've just started playing with that, and that you do get a real dreamy kind of look with them. So they're worth experimenting with, but they're not going to be the same as what you get using a Holga 120N or using the film with the Diana Plus.
With the Holgas, you have the 120S, there's a 120N, now there's a 120GN, but then there was one in between the S and the N that was glass. So these different iterations of lenses that are on the Holgas, are they really all the same and it doesn't matter? Or is there a difference between old plastic S and the new N, or the old glass and the new GN?
Right. Yeah, there was a version called the Woka, which was the glass lens ones originally that are now the Gs. And I haven't really shot much with them, so I'm not really sure. I have seen some people who've shot with them, and I don't see a huge amount of difference between the plastic lenses. I have also heard people say that the 120N lenses are better than the S, and haven't noticed a huge amount of difference in that. I think that's sort of getting into the realm of the people who will spend hours and hours trying to figure out and debate which Nikon lens is the best. And that's just getting into detail work that doesn't really interest me, because you shoot with a Holga, and it's a Holga, and the idea is for it to be simple.
No, I think you're correct. I mean, really, it doesn't matter, does it?
There are definitely people who have a few different Holgas, and they have different characteristics. Some might have a little more of the little double shoot in the right-hand corner or this or that. Some have different light leaks. I have one that has a certain light leak that I kind of like. So it's worth paying attention if those differences are significant to you. And if you don't notice the differences, then don't worry about it.
Should people really go through and tape them up and plug the holes in the shutters and the holes in the internal box and flock them and do all this crazy stuff? I mean, I know all these things do make a difference.
Yeah, and that depends how you want to shoot. I don't really like most light leaks. It depends on which ones they are. The one that's inherent in the camera is from those little two holes in the inside of the camera, and that gives you this sort of triangle chunk taken out of the upper right-hand corner of the frame, and I just don't really like that. So some people like that. Another type of light leak is after you take the film out of the camera, and if it's wound loosely, you get light leaking in the edges of the frame. And some people really like that, and they court that, and they try and create it. Also, you can get light leaks through the back window where the little red filter is, but if you shoot a lot of light through there, it can burn through. And some people really like that and include it in their work, and that's just an aesthetic choice. I like to give people the information to know how to get rid of it, because people can get very frustrated if these things keep happening and they don't like them, and then they can choose.
So what's your favorite piece out of all these plastic cameras? You had the early Dianas, the Holgas. I mean, I think you really dig the Holga deal the best. But even some of these new crazy cameras are coming out with Superhead has just some wild off-the-wall stuff.
Mm-hmm. My all-time favorite is definitely the Holga 120, now the N. And if I just had to have one camera, it would definitely be that. And I'm even fine with the black, although the other colors are nice. My favorite of the new generation is the wide pinhole Holga. Have you seen that one? It's a kind of freaky looking stretched out Holga.
Yep.
It's 6x12 centimeter format, and it's got a pinhole. And to me, it gives you a completely new way to shoot and new format in this realm. It's a true panoramic. It's 6x12, but it's not so gimmicky that it overwhelms the images. So I really love that camera, and it's so new that I haven't seen a lot of work out of it yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing what people come up with and shooting more with it myself.
So Michelle, let's talk about the reference and the resources that are in your book. You have a brand new one that's going to actually go to press here any day.
Mm-hmm.
And what type of information is in the book? I guess you cover modifications and models. It's pretty much the facto standard when it comes to any kind of true, real information on these cameras.
Yeah, well, I tried to make it as comprehensive as possible last time, and then I've added a lot of information this time. I've added 15 new photographers this time because a lot of people have been doing fantastic work. So there's a lot of new work to check out. There's information on the new cameras that are out there, and then there's all the stuff about how to get the cameras ready to shoot, how to work with the accessories, how to shoot close up, how to use flash, infrared, instant film, and then what do you do with the film? So processing film, what are the options for that? Making prints or scanning and using things digitally and all the different myriad options for that. So it's kind of everything that you need to get started with the Holga. It goes through all the film choices that are applicable to all these cameras and then where to go when you're out shooting and then after you finish shooting.
Michelle, tell me about your workshops. You have some stuff coming up here in Seattle and Pismo Beach. Some cool things going on where you can actually attend a workshop with yourself and get into this whole plastic goodness.
Oh, yeah. The workshops are so much fun. I love teaching the stuff, and everybody gets really, really excited. I do everything from short talks to a two-week-long workshop at the Penland School in North Carolina and week-long classes in Maine. I'm showing you all these things about how to get the Holga ready and stuff. But it ends up being more also about the principles of photography and thinking about light in this way that's kind of backwards from learning how to use a camera where you're spending all your time trying to figure out what the menu options are. It's thinking about light. So this is what the camera does, and then do you want to add light? Do you want to take light away? How do you do that? And in the workshops, we get to go out and shoot, and you can experiment with some of the other cameras because I'll bring my collection along. And in the longer classes, we spend time in the darkroom. So then I'll show you how to make good prints from your negatives. So I have a workshop coming up in Seattle in August at Workshops West in Pismo Beach at the beginning of October, Project Basho in Philadelphia later in October, speaking at the Photo Plus Expo, doing a seminar there, and there's more in the works, so it's all on my website.
It's really amazing. It's so cool to see that you're actually doing workshops for photography, and it's not about the camera. Like you said, okay, so you go over some stuff with the Holga, great, but really it's more of being creative and forgetting about the gear. And learning how to see and how to take images and really about techniques more so than technology.
Right. It's sort of paradoxical. I sort of like to think that it's less about the camera, but then it is also very much about the camera. But it just fires up people's creativity. And every time I do a workshop, people always want to spend more time working on this and experimenting and trying these things. Now that there's all these other cameras, people even want to play with those more. But it's a really, really fun way to get into photography. The classes are great for everyone, from total beginners to people who've been doing this for decades, because the people who are beginners, it's all new to them, and then the people who've been doing it for a long time, it's a very different way of thinking about photography and about shooting and interacting with your cameras. And I love when I have this mix of people in the classes. I get all sorts of ages, and oh, it's just so much fun.
I find it very refreshing to shoot with a Holga because you go out with standard gear, okay? Hasselblad, Mamiya, whatever, mm-hmm. Canon, Nikon. You're always worried about super focus and it's got to be all anal and tight and you got to have the metering right and you're all worried about the stuff and composing. And I find when I go with a Holga, I don't care. I'm like, cool, drop the can to the ground sideways, click. It doesn't matter. Right. It just seems that it's okay. Now I can sort of be like a little kid.
It is. I mean, it's really fun when you see that with people who have been shooting for decades and they have every camera in the book. David Burnett is a great example of this. He's a photojournalist who's been shooting for many decades and he's photographed every president since Kennedy. And just sort of realized a few years back that everyone was shooting with the same equipment and all the pictures looked the same. And he started shooting with a Holga and his old 4x5 camera. And he just has so much fun with it and does amazing work. So it's really freeing for a lot of people. And it's fascinating for people who are just getting into photography. A lot of people who are picking these up, they've never used film. They don't even know anything about film. They've just started with digital photography because that's what everybody has now. And so that's really fun for people to discover it. And bringing people into the dark room is always really exciting. So yeah, it's a whole different experience, and I really love it. I love going out and shooting with the Holga. It's a very different mindset from shooting with the other cameras, and it's a lot of fun.
It is, and I think, like you said, you can let yourself go and be free and not worry about it.
Right, you can definitely shoot that way, and Loma Graphic Society's motto is don't think, just shoot, and I think that's great. And then the flip side of that is that these cameras have a very particular look to them, which is special. And if you embrace that and make it part of your artistic vision, then the more you know about your equipment and how it works and how you want to create images, then the more successful you can be in your shooting. So there's a whole world that you can live in with these cameras. It's not just that you have to go out and everything's chancy, and that's great for a while. But you can grow into them, and then you can mature into your work with them also. So there's something for everybody in them.
So what do you suggest is a good way to start? Which camera model? What does someone need to do to really get into this and sort of break away from the gear acquisition syndrome and just shoot and be free?
If there's somewhere in your town that sells these cameras, you can go in and play with them and try out some different options. Freestyle sells all the different cameras, so you can look at their catalog and see. There are now all these accessories, and the Diana has all these different lenses, but start simple. Get to know a camera. I definitely prefer the Holgas that have the hot shoe, not the ones that have the built-in flash, because then you can use different flashes and you have sort of more options. But you can try some of these other ones. There's a lot of 35mm options out there now. And if you live somewhere where you can't get 120 film processed and you don't want to process it yourself at home, those are good. So the Holga has some 35mm options. There's a Diana Mini. Superheads has the Golden Half. The Blackbird Fly also takes 35mm film. So those are good options if you live somewhere where you can't get 120 film processed. Although you can do also mail order processing now too. It's funny because a few years back I would just say, go out and get a Holga, and then that really simplifies things further. And now there's all these options which sometimes seem a little overwhelming. So if you want to go simple, just get a plain Holga 120N. But you can try any of these other options too, the Diana Plus, the Diana Mini, any of the Superheads ones, and see what you like.
So, Michelle, let's talk about your photography. You've done lots of different projects, portfolios, Burning Man, all kinds of stuff. So tell me about what you're shooting and what you like to do.
I've shot a lot of different things over, it's almost 20 years that I've been doing this now. And even within the Holga realm of my work, I've shot a lot of different things, which has been great. I started out shooting carnivals in the early 90s, and I love that work. And it's very interesting because it continues to be a very popular subject matter for Holgas. And I'm always having friends come up to me and say, oh, I saw this thing that would be a great Holga photo. So there are things that are great Holga images that they say Holga. What I've tried to do over the years is expand what I shoot into other subjects and other types of work that don't necessarily say Holga, but use my particular vision of the Holga to interpret them. So I've got a series of nature images and other types of work that I've done. And that's really a great thing to do, to take it out of the realm of the expected and use it in other ways. But I've also done other series of fine artwork with regular cameras that just had technical issues that the Holga couldn't really do. So I've photographed a lot of fire art and performance, and that kind of mostly needs regular cameras, mostly Nikon. And then I've shot Burning Man, and I shot Holgas there, and I just didn't really like the images. But I like the square format, so I've shot Twin Lens Reflex and a Mamiya 6 at Burning Man. Different subjects do need different cameras, either due to the aesthetics or the technical capabilities. I shoot a lot of live performance. I work with a lot of physical theater and circus and the new vaudeville scene. And I shoot all of that digitally with Nikons. One art director said one time she referred to my quirky sensibility. So that's the thread that runs through all of it.
So what do you look forward to in the realm of plastic cameras? Of course, you got the new book coming out that's got some new cool things in it, new cameras, new tips. What else are you working on? What else are you looking forward to?
Well, I love interacting with people. I love doing the talks and I love teaching workshops. So I've got all these things lined up. And I love traveling, so I keep trying to set up new things and go to different places and expand the type of workshop that I'm doing. So when I got to do the 2-week-long one, that was great. I did a 4-week, once-a-week class here in Seattle, and that was great. I want to expand on that kind of thing, of giving people the chance to spend more time creating their work and work with them on it. So if I can keep doing my own work and showing that, because I've got exhibitions of my own work coming up, help promote other people and their work by putting them in the book or showing them in my slideshows, introduce other people to the joys of these cameras, then that's all great stuff and I love doing it.
If there was one thing, Michelle, that you could have fixed or your own special feature on a Holga, what would it be?
About 2 years ago, the Holga company that makes the Holga, which was called Tokina and now it's Holga Limited, contacted me and I got in touch with them. I showed them the book and created this great relationship with them. I wrote a letter to Mr. T.M. Lee, who created the Holga, with sort of my list of things like that. We've also been trying to brainstorm what would we do to make the Michelle Bates Holga. So I've been thinking a lot about this, and some things might be in the works. There are some little things on the Holga that I've just thought should get fixed. I'd be like, well, that would be nice, but maybe it would make it too good. So most of the quirks of the Holga, I think you can kind of fix up. But I don't know, I'm brainstorming with some people right now of what to do to make a Michelle Bates Holga. And you might see that out there soon.
Then there's also places people can get pre-modified Holgas, correct?
Yeah, there's Randy Smith, who has a website called Holga Mods. And he does some of these things like flocking, which I've never actually done to mine. He originated the bulb setting, and he has other things like putting in waste level viewfinders and some other things. And he's just very creative. So you look at his site or on his email list, and he's always coming up with new ideas and new weird hybrid Holgas and things like that. So it's pretty fun. But you can also do a lot of this stuff yourself. There's so much information on shooting with Holgas and modifying these cameras on the internet. So you can find some really, really creative, interesting stuff on the websites and the blogs and little videos of how to do all this stuff on YouTube also.
No, I think there's a great community, and I think a starting point is your book. When do you expect the new book to be published and out and about?
It should be out and about in October.
And still the other one's out. There's a ton of information in the original
Absolutely.
Version.
Mm-hmm.
Is the second one all completely different, or is it just updated section, or which?
It's a second edition. The first one was the yellow cover, and this new one has a blue cover with a different image, but otherwise looks the same. It's got 32 more pages. As I said, it has 15 new photographers. So a lot of the how-to information is taken from the first edition and just updated and added to and added the new cameras. And then in the back of the book, I've got a resources section. So the first edition was pretty comprehensive at the time for all the books that had been published, every magazine article that I could find that had been published, and the main websites. And the amount of information that has been published in print and on the web since then is completely overwhelming. I could never make a comprehensive database of that anymore. But it's a selection of some really excellent group websites that are about using the cameras. A lot of people who don't have images in the book but are doing great work, then a lot of the great books, including tons of people self-publishing these books on Blurb and Lulu. So I have a selection of those in there. And so once you have the book and you've gone through the information that's in there, you can just dive out the back end of the book into all this other information that's out there, and it's kind of endless. I love that people are excited about film and photography, and outside of the realm of the equipment, I want people to also think about what they're shooting. And that's the whole other realm of thinking about your subject and how you shoot and what your vision is and editing and getting your work into the fine art world versus just shooting for fun. It's kind of a whole other realm. And I encourage people to look at the work of people who are doing good stuff, not necessarily what everyone's posting on Flickr. Take classes with people who really know what they're doing. Portfolio reviews are a really great world to get into to see the work that other people are doing and get your work out there. And get out and socialize. Go to trade shows, go to conferences, go to openings, meet other people in the photo world, talk to them, see what people are doing, and learn what makes good images outside of what the equipment is, but what the passion is, what the subject matter is, what the composition is, and what the cohesiveness of a project is. So if you want to get into photography more seriously, those are all things to consider. And Mary Virginia Swanson is an incredible resource for this. So look at her website and her book on the business of photography, because it doesn't matter that you're using a cheap camera. You can still make work that's world class and get it out there in the fine art world or use it commercially in any realm that you want. That's the amazing thing, is that people are using these images. If photojournalism, fashion photography, commercial photography, portraiture, all of these things. So the sky's the limit.
Yeah, this is great stuff. So, Michelle, tell me the address to your website where they can find out about the workshops, your beautiful photography, the book, all the stuff that's going on.
It's michellebates.net. I've got my portfolios of work. I've got lists of upcoming events. I've got links to the photographers in the book and some other photographers. The section of the site about the book is toyingwithcreativity.com.
Yeah, this is great stuff, Michelle. I really appreciate you joining us today, talking about your new book, toy cameras, and all this great, beautiful photography you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Well, there you go. Michelle Bates. What a great gal. Beautiful photography. Very inspirational. A really cool book, Plastic Cameras, Toying with Creativity. There's a new version coming out. A lot of great stuff going up on our website. Workshops. Michelle's got it cooking here in the land of creative photography, Holgas, you name it. Really cool stuff. Definitely check out our website. The Inside Analog Photo Radio Program has been brought to you by Fujifilm for their full line of instant cameras and film, and of course, fine quality Fuji Crystal Archive paper over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. Our friends at Photo Publicist, worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the finest quality lab in the country, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for black and white chroma, dr5.com. Upstrap for the finest quality camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder at upstrap-pro.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios at igerstudios.com. And of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at apug.org and our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House over at eastmanhouse.org. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.